This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.
Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. The guest that we have on today is somebody that you have probably seen all over the news, consistently blogging, consistently podcasting, consistently being highlighted as a huge thought leader within financial services. His name is Alan Moore. He's the co-founder of the XY Planning Network and CEO of AdvicePay. Today, we're going to talk to Alan about how he has experienced such exponential growth. When it comes to marketing a business and being an entrepreneur, a lot of times marketing falls to the wayside. But in my introduction of Alan right there, with all of the blogs that he does, all of the social posting that he does, all of the stuff that his teams do at XY and AdvicePay has made them one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. And that's no joke. So, Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. Excited to be here.
Let's just start. I don't even know where to begin, Alan. I'm sorry. You know, I'm the host of this darn thing. I'm trying to think about what my first question should be, because I'm a little overwhelmed by your success. And if I'm overwhelmed as not being a member of your company, I can't imagine how much fun it must be for you. How have you grown as much as you've grown? What are the most powerful and effective marketing techniques that you and your team have found to help your companies achieve what you've achieved?
You know, it's a great question. It really has been like being on a rocket ship in a good way. Well, now it's fun. I will say the growth early on was really painful. Folks envy growth and they really shouldn't, at least not supercharged growth, which we really did experience there for a bit. But, you know, if I break out some of the contributing factors into, you know, early success, middle success, sort of what's working now, you know, early on, it was the fact that I approached, you know, none other than Michael Kitsis. And he willingly jumped on as co-founder of XY Planning Network. And because of that partnership, it gave us both the right two heads in the strategic planning room. And he and I work extremely well together with complementing skill sets. But also, he just brought a visibility to the network. And so when Michael puts his, you know, stamp of approval on something and says, hey, this is something I'm involved in, people will show up. You know, and something I've learned about Kitsis's platform is that a lot of people will show up and look. They won't buy just because of Michael, but they will show up and be like, hey, what is this thing because of Michael? And so that was a huge, you know, first step for us, is just gaining visibility. It's one of the hardest things as a business owner is just being noticed. And, you know, Michael and I joke, it's the best equity I ever spent was having him be 50% owner, you know, because that really was, both from a marketing standpoint and a strategic standpoint, just so valuable early on. I would say, you know, if I look at sort of the what then started to work, really having a very clearly defined niche and not compromising. You know, advisors tell me all the time, niches don't work. I don't need a niche. I can just, you know, serve whoever. And I always look back at XY Planning Network, where we said, here, you know, we're going to work with folks that actually are doing real financial planning, which takes this world of 285,000 financial advisors and narrows it way, way down. We're going to focus on, you know, advisors with a CFP that can be listed on a find an advisor profile. We want advisors that are working with younger clients, Gen X, Gen Y, that are fee only, that are fiduciary, and are implementing a monthly retainer service model with their clients. We got extremely specific. And I will say, when we went that specific, we just assumed we'd have like 20 advisors show up and that would be, you know, this group of, you know, little ragtag group, and we'd have some fun. But I truly credit the fact that we were able to define a niche market and be really focused on who we were the best at serving and never compromise on that. You know, we get a lot of questions on, hey, I want to sell insurance, or can I, you know, come in without the CFP and have the CFA and be listed on the advisor search, and say, no, you know, we know who we serve and who we're best at serving. And that seems to have really supercharged the growth, because not only is it really obvious from a marketing perspective, you know, who we're there for. Great marketing should repel more people than it attracts. And so we repel the wrong people, attract the right people, but it really allows us to build this amazing community of advisors that are super supportive of each other and really understand each other's business models. So I would credit having a niche to being, you know, one of the best things we've done. And then finally, you know, I would say hiring really, really well and being very intentional about hiring has been awesome for us, because, you know, we think of marketing as just going out and telling our story. But the truth is, one of our greatest, you know, sources of new members now is existing member referrals, just like advisory firms. And being very sure that, you know, we're providing a great service and that we're taking care of our members and keeping them engaged and happy with what we're doing. Is another, you know, piece of the growth. So I could list a thousand things. I would say those are the three things that really come to mind are, you know, really being sure you're partnering with the right folks. And I've seen advisory firms take advantage of a similar strategy, which is really awesome. You know, being very clear on who you serve and being sure that you hire the right people to serve those clients to the best of your ability.
When somebody does engage the XY Planning Network, And you are so specific, that community, that micro, well, it's not that micro anymore, but the community that you've created, it has a personality. It now is attracting the similar personality. Tell our listeners what you offer, because, Alan, you just, if every advisor who listens to this podcast does those three things, they're going to win. So
absolutely.
If you didn't write those three things down, please take a moment and write those three things down. You know, making sure that you're, you know, connecting with the right people and partnering with the right people, making sure that you have a very specific niche and know who you're marketing to. And finally, making sure that you're hiring the right people who are going to represent you in a way that will make people love your service so much that they refer business to you. I hope that's an okay paraphrase. Was that all right?
That was perfect.
Okay. Now, if I am that certified financial planner who services younger people, who is a fiduciary and fee only, what do I get from you, brother? I mean, what besides support and knowing I'm not alone, what else do you guys do?
You know, I've really started framing XY Planning Network and what we do as an entrepreneurship platform. We help people start, run, and grow their own financial planning firm. Our business model could, quite frankly, work in any industry. We've just picked financial services because it's the world Michael and I grew up in. It's the only world we know. So when advisors join, they're going to get, you know, I guess a few different phases. Depending on if they're looking to launch a firm, we'll actually help them with the entire launch process, writing a business plan, writing a marketing plan, getting their RIA registered. We have a compliance team that will walk them through the entire process and help them file, you know, all of their paperwork with a state regulator. And then we have what we call Start My Firm, which is a program. They get in with a study group that goes through with our business coach on making the decisions around fee structure, ideal client profile. How are you going to, you know, have the service model? Where are your clients going to come from? That sort of thing. And just being sure that we really empower them to build the business that supports their great life. To be sure that they start from day one building the right business instead of accidentally building the wrong business. We provide a suite of technology, so we include pretty much all the technology that it takes to run a firm, CRM, planning software, archiving software, billing solution, really across the board. So it's all the technology that they need. One of the differences between us and many of the, we get compared to broker dealers more than anyone at this stage, is that we don't require people to use our tech. We provide a CRM. If you want to use it, great. It's free. If you don't, that's fine too. We don't care. And what we find is that most advisors don't actually care about demoing 12 different CRMs and trying to figure out how it integrates with, you know, the right financial planning software.
Yeah,
they
totally
just want a system that works.
Well, they don't have time for that, man. I mean, that's what they're hopefully paying a network for. That's why people join broker dealers. It's the somebody else is doing the due diligence for you. I mean, dear God, Alan, doing all of the due diligence on everything you just listed there that's a full-time flipping job.
It is.
And I love your accountability part of it. If you don't mind, as an ex-coach, would you talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, so we have a few different layers of coaching now, but really what we have found is most effective is what I call one-to-few coaching. One-to-one coaching is fantastic. It's just very expensive and hard to scale. One-to-many, which is really pre-recorded webinars, you know, our Academy platform, which we have a really awesome library of resources. It's hard for busy advisors to really jump in there and take advantage, and they don't know when should they be watching the third episode about compliance and becoming a CCO. So what we found is what I call the one to few model, which is having our business coaches and marketing coaches really facilitate small groups of advisors going through a similar situation. So especially when you're launching, to be surrounded by a group of people that are also launching their business that you can bounce ideas off of, that when you have a tough day and you have that inevitable, you know, first client that's or prospect that says no, or you're really hung up on your marketing messaging to your ideal client, for them to be there to really be supportive, sort of that peer group, but also have someone who's been there, done that, and has, you know, walked hundreds and hundreds of advisors through that same process. And we found that that has the most effective way to really be sure that that proper foundation is laid early on. Because while you can always change your mind, you can always change your service model and your fee structure and your processes and all of those things, having that foundation early is really the one of the highest predictors of success that we find. And so being sure they're making good decisions, like charging high enough fees. Our advisors inevitably undercharge in their first year. So we're, you know, constantly pounding them to try to, hey, raise fees by 50%. Whatever number you think you should be charging, raise it by 50%. And then you're going to be a little closer to where you actually should be. And that's game changing for them, because then they don't have to go raise fees by 50% on a year's worth of clients in a year or two when they realize how much they undercharged.
Where do you get the research for that, Alan? I mean, because there's a lot of noise. I'm going to use that in a pejorative manner. Yeah. That saying, reduce your fees, reduce your fees, reduce your fees. And I don't want to just talk about fees. I want to talk about all of the different components that you were just talking about there. Where are you guys plugging in? How are you finding that stuff out? Are you beta testing it with people? Are you interviewing your people? Is it because of the level of success that, that you and your partners have achieved? Where are you getting that data?
So a couple of places. One is last year we did our first annual benchmarking survey, and this year we have done it again. So we actually send out a very comprehensive survey that the Ensemble practice helped us pull together and really understand their business and understand first, second, third year revenue and expenses and types of clients and types of service models, and really so that we have a good feel for the trends and what we're seeing in our businesses and in the firms that are associated with XY. And one of the things that we found in our first year and we have found in our second year's study is 100%, okay, 100% of firms raise their fees in the first 3 years. And that there's a couple of reasons that that happens. One is just, you know, they just want to get out of the gate and get some early clients. But I think it's mainly a confidence issue and being sure that they're, you know, confident in the service that they're offering and the value that they're providing, and be willing to charge a fee that may be a little uncomfortable for them. And so we're seeing fees go up. Fee compression is a myth across the industry. We are not seeing fee compression. We are seeing the mean fee come down a little bit, but the median fee is going up. And what that means is the people that were charging 2 and 2.5% for low cost ETF model portfolios are getting hammered and they're having to bring their fees down. Mm-hmm. But fees are not going down, especially on the financial planning side. And as long as you're providing enough value to showcase to your clients, our advisors are not competing on price. They're competing on value and really being able to showcase that, especially if they're willing to identify a target market and really focus on that niche market. So, you know, we're always encouraging our advisors, hey, just it's okay to charge the value that you provide.
With the Nerd's Eye View and the podcasting that you do, when I interviewed Michael, one of the things that he said, and we joked about it, was that your podcasts are very, very long because of the depth that you go into. Talk a little bit about the podcast and how people can try before they buy, or to get a better understanding of your philosophy through listening to podcasts like this.
Yes. So, and just to clarify, so Michael has the Nerd's Eye View, mm-hmm. the Financial Advisor Success Podcast, and then we also have XYPN Radio.
Gotcha.
So I think we're 170 episodes in on XYPN Radio. Wow. He's, I think, over 100 or close to it on his podcast.
Okay.
And I'll say two very different audiences and two very different flavors, or I shouldn't say different audiences, two very different flavors of podcasts. And we do see a lot of advisors listening to both. His podcast is really looking at highly successful advisors and the path that got them there.
Okay.
And people that honestly, like I couldn't even dream of emailing and actually getting on a podcast. It's the beauty of being Michael.
Sure.
And so if you really want to dive deep on, you know, the success of those individual advisors, that's really where you go, and a lot of different business models. The XYPN Radio podcast has been really focused on the advisors, many of which are members, many of which are not, but that have launched a business in the last 2 to 3 years. years and getting a really good understanding of what does it actually mean to be an entrepreneur? What does it actually mean to start a business? Mm-hmm. We have been guilty from a branding perspective of making it seem like entrepreneurship is rainbows and unicorns. And I'm here to tell you, it is not. Entrepreneurship is really hard and it never gets any easier. And so we want to be sure that we have that conversation with advisors and be sure they understand what they're getting into, because I don't want to be someone who's selling a bill of goods and saying, oh no, it's really easy and fun, when, you know, there are a lot of parts that are not fun and it's never easy. So our podcast is really focused on advisors that have been starting their business. What did that first year look like? How much money did they make? And we ask most of our guests, you know, what was your revenue? What was your expenses? Where are the clients coming from? And they're very willing to be transparent, because other guests have been transparent, and that's really helped them sort of benchmark where should they be, what's normal. Mm-hmm. It is not normal to make $250,000 in your first year. So let's just go ahead and put it out there that normal is somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 of revenue.
Right.
And so let's be sure that, one, that our firms don't try to go, that our advisors don't try to go start a firm too early without enough financial runway. Because if they come out of the gate saying, I need to make $10,000 a month, that's going to be a hard path unless you have, you know, some secret sauce. So our podcast is really focused on just, you know, providing and really exposing those stories to advisors and helping them realize that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. A lot of advisors out there, especially in the broker-dealer world, really across the board, they're so isolated because their bosses don't let them go to the FPA or NAPFA events. They don't go to mm-hmm. conferences, and they just feel like they're on an island. And mm-hmm. and helping them understand they're not. And we've got 740 advisors in our network. We have, I think, 1,800 advisors now in our VIP group that's attached to the podcast. It's a private Facebook group for listeners. There are a lot of advisors out there that are really focused on doing financial planning the right way, focusing on working with younger clients and their peers, moving away from the commission model. And, you know, you don't have to be out there by yourself. So that's really what we wanted to provide.
I'm going to take, I've got three big questions for you. Not like the other ones, you know, were light questions. So
exactly.
Thank you for confidently and wonderfully and succinctly. You just triggered a whole bunch of other things. So I'm like, okay, Matt, I'm going to ask you three more questions. Okay, Alan, number one, how do you manage your social presence? I know this sounds like maybe a little bit of a switch, but you just talked about the private Facebook group, and I have been connected with you on freaking LinkedIn and Twitter and everything forever. How do you manage that?
You know, to be honest, I've really backed off a lot of the social media in particular, because I have found that some of the conversations are great. Ultimately, a lot of times it can be a distraction.
Gotcha.
From just getting out and running the business. And mm-hmm. so as we've grown, and now we have folks that, you know, we have a fantastic marketing team mm-hmm. Here at XYPN that I really want them promoting and building the XY Planning Network brand. Mm-hmm. We never wanted it to be the Alan and Michael Network.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the first article ever written about us, the headline was The Kitsis Network. We have spent 4.5 years being sure that we are not the name of the brand. And while, you know, obviously we are involved and our faces are all over it, we do want to sort of move away from that. And so I haven't felt the need from a social media perspective to try and, you know, be the face of the brand anymore like I was when I was a solo mm-hmm. Financial advisor. So we do hook social media profiles are hooked up to HubSpot, which mm-hmm. is the platform that we use for our marketing at XY, and we push out, you know, new content, you know, blog posts, podcasts, that sort of thing, job postings, that sort of thing out through my social channels. But, you know, I'll check in with folks, sort of see what's going on, particularly if someone's tagged me specifically, I'll engage. But I'm not spending a lot of time these days, you know, actually getting on there and trying to engage with folks. I just find other mechanisms, whether it be the podcast and our VIP group, you know, talking to members to be a better way of, you know, of spending my time and running the business.
Wonderful. Next. How you said it very, very well, that being an entrepreneur doesn't get any easier. And you have complicated your life a lot more than a lot of other people would with all of the other businesses that you're involved in, plus being a family man and it being in unbelievable shape. Let's talk about work-life balance. How are you able to do all of the stuff that you're able to do? One, not killing yourself and having a heart attack and getting a divorce, but two, continuing to be successful.
Now, see, it's going to sound cliche, but it truly comes down to priorities. What are your priorities and what are you going to prioritize? And one of the greatest ways to see what you value is where you spend your time. I will say that I used to be in a lot better shape. And as the businesses got more complex and got more complicated, I didn't go to the gym as much. I was eating out a lot more, gained a lot of weight. And I'm now in the process of getting back in the gym. It's been about 4 months now that I've been going more regularly, trying to eat more healthy, dropping some weight, because I realized that I wasn't spending the time doing the things that I wanted to be doing. I didn't ski as much last year as two seasons ago, I didn't ski almost the entire season. And last year I was like, nope, I am going to get 20 days in. And this year I'm shooting for 30 because those are the things I really value. And I'll say that the way I have learned to prioritize, one is I am fortunate that my wife actually works at AdvicePay. So she's our product owner, which means that we get to hang out a lot during the day and go have lunch together and see each other. So I'm not, sort of waiting till the end of the day to get to see family. And we have childcare on site that we're putting in. So I'll be able to see my kids a little more often at the office at least my daughter, who's 7 weeks old as of this recording, she'll actually be at the office with us, which is awesome. And trying to, do some things like that. Advisors can put childcare in at the office. If you've got a nanny anyway, or depending on how you're handling all that, it's cheaper just to have someone come to the office sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'll say, put it on the calendar. That's always my recommendation to advisors is CrossFit's on my calendar at 4:30 p.m. every single day. And I really don't bend on that. And my team knows, don't schedule stuff at 4:30 because Alan's going to be at the gym. Is the only way that I actually get there. And I'll say the final piece is hire well. And I cannot harp on this enough is, don't go out and try to find the cheapest person that you can. Go out and find the absolute best person that you think you might be able to afford and bring them onto the team. Because, I was able to step away from the businesses for about 6 weeks and, had no concern. I had no fear that the business was going to keep running and keep growing and keep doing the great things that we've been doing because I've got amazing people around me. And I'll say that's the one thing that I'll brag about that I think that we have done exceptionally well that many people struggle with is we've just hired really awesome people. And it really goes back to the first couple of hires that we made. And they have really set the tone for future hires and set the expectation bar. And so having those people around me allows me to go to the gym and go, take a long weekend and go to a bed and breakfast up in northern Montana and do the things that I want to be able to do. I am very much short of being a workaholic. I work somewhere between 40 and 45 hours a week. And technically we have four businesses that we're running. And it's because I don't have to do everything myself. Yep. If I did, I wouldn't be anywhere where I am today.
No, you'd be 400 pounds, probably already had 3 triple bypasses and you'd be as gray as I am.
Very true.
Okay. When you hire, this isn't my last question, but when you hire, are you hiring virtual? I mean, so when you and I met long, long, long time ago, that was one of the big things. And you have actually some great blog posts about being a virtual advisor. Do you do the same thing with team?
We did. When we first started out, everyone was virtual until we had about 12 team members that were all virtual. And we would have stayed that way if we hadn't been growing as fast and hadn't been projecting faster growth. Bringing on a new team member every 6 months or so virtual is totally doable from my experience, and they can get integrated into the culture and understand the mission and get fired up about it and honestly learn how to work from home, which is really hard for some folks when they're making that first transition. But we sort of hit this path where we're kind of hiring, one person a month or so. And that rate makes it really difficult to be sure that we're really engaging all of the new team members and really getting them on board. And so we did make the decision back in 2016, which was implemented in 2017. So last year was that we did open up an office here in Bozeman, Montana, and we've been hiring most of our new team members here at Bozeman. We have hired a couple virtual folks that had, the skill set that we were looking for that we weren't going to find here in Bozeman. Mm-hmm. And we've been moving some of our team members, and we gave them the option. They didn't have to move because they were hired for virtual positions. So they did not have to make that move. But we've had about half of our team has made the decision to come on to Bozeman and be able to work in the office. So I think about 3/4 of our team now works out of the Bozeman office, and about a quarter are still virtual.
Gotcha. Have they all done a Bozeman winter yet?
Well, our COO moved up from Dallas, Texas, and right into, I think he moved at the end of September last year, and it was one of our hardest winters in 4 or 5 years, and they made it through. So if they made it, everyone can do it. The truth is, winter is actually not all that hard here.
Yes.
It's a bit of a misnomer. We just moved 2 people from Washington, And, you know, the thing here is we have 300 days of sunshine. Yes. So people from Seattle are like in heaven, even when it's super cold because the sun's out here. Mm-hmm. So it's not nearly as bad as other parts of Montana. Bozeman is just an awesome town. It's been really fun that when we host some events here and some conferences and invite our members to come out. And when they come here, usually it goes from like, what in the world is Alan, this crazy mountain man doing up in Montana, to they're like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. This is a cool town.
Yeah. I was just in Bozeman for a conference with one of the companies that we have a relationship with, and the most dog friendly place I've ever been and the most well-behaved dogs I've ever seen, which was crazy. True. And I did the library hike, which was beautiful. And yep. I also went to the fossil museum. There is a
museum
shop.
Museum of the Rockies.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a shop that's right off Main Street. And this woman who ran the shop let me hold like a 3 million year old Triceratops horn.
Wow, now
it was
cool.
It was for sale. It was $30,000, but it was unbelievable. So if you're not a member of the XY Planet Network and you do fit the qualifications, please join. Number two, if they are doing an event that non-members can go to Bozeman. It is beautiful. Hopefully the airport is now up and running 100%, which it wasn't when I was there. Bozeman is absolutely gorgeous. Take the hikes, say hi to people. They've got great beer. They've got great people. It's just wonderful. And then three, my last question for you. What is your go-to resource? So obviously you're a very disciplined person, or you've implemented discipline in your life. And when somebody like me says, Alan, what is that one thing that you tell people, like, hey, read this, watch this TED Talk, listen to this podcast, read this blog. What is the one thing that is your go-to thing, like immediately, friends and family, professionals or whatever, that is that thing that you pull out of your pocket that you just know is of great value so that our listeners can, we can put it in our show notes and they can download it or listen to it or whatever. What is that one thing for you?
Oh man, it's so hard. I'm an avid listener of books. I probably listen to a business book every 1 to 2 weeks. So I have a very long list depending on the topic, depending on the thing someone wants to learn more about. If I'm talking to entrepreneurs, I'm talking to advisors and they're thinking about starting a business, because that's really my focus right now. Mm-hmm. The E-Myth Revisited the go-to book.
Yeah.
We actually have the author, Michael Gerber, speaking at our conference this year, which is really exciting. But that is the best story of what entrepreneurship is really like. And so I'd say if you're an entrepreneur or thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, that is generally my go-to resource. And I just read so many books, depending on the topic, depends on what book I point people to.
Well, I'm going to poke you again with that. What about marketing? Is there a marketing podcast, marketing blog, something marketing wise that you follow that you're like, okay, this is tops?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat and give you two.
Okay.
And these are books that we worked through over the last 6 months or so. One is called The Story Brand, which was just really helpful. I am not a marketing person. I don't think in terms of marketing. And I have just learned there are people with that gift, and they are truly amazing and will benefit your company. So The Story Brand was just really helpful in defining who we are and who we want to be, and be sure we're all speaking the same language. So I would say that is an amazing book to read. And the other one that I recently read that I really liked was Traction. Now there's two Tractions. There's Traction about how to run a business, which I highly recommend, but there's also Traction for Marketing, which talks about the 19 marketing channels that you can focus on. And, most advisors will tell you, if I say, what's your number one source of new clients? New client referrals, which is fine. There's nothing bad about that. But that also means there are 18 other marketing channels that you're probably not thinking about, because one of them is currently working. And just to be able to sort of condense and look at, okay, all of the different channels and understand what are all the different possibilities and things you've thought about, things you haven't thought about, and really making some decisions around, okay, for my target market, for my audience, what is the best way to reach them? And that was one of the best summaries of the different ways that you can reach your target client. And probably once you pick one or two of those sections, there's going to be a whole list of resources to then learn about how to do those methods effectively. But it's a great overview.
Wonderful. Alan, thank you very, very much. This was wonderful. And thank you for allowing me to pivot all over the place with the podcast and just try to pick your brain as much as I possibly can in 30 minutes. And when do you have any upcoming, when is this upcoming event? If you don't mind, just take a moment and tell us about that stuff.
Yeah. So at the end of September, September 26th, we will be down in St. Louis for our national conference. Non-members are welcome. About half the attendees will be non-members. We're expecting around 500 this year, 500 advisors, which is really exciting. And I realized that I gave you the wrong date. It's September 23rd down in St. Louis. And so it's a great opportunity to come down and meet a bunch of other younger advisors that are, you know, trying to do things a little different. And we have a great exhibit hall. We do a little bit different of a format where we do a one-day exhibit hall. So you really get a full day of content, and then there's a full day of really working with vendors. We put a huge emphasis on being sure all of the vendors that are in our exhibit hall are providing value to the firm, mm-hmm. not just there to get you to sell their products to your clients. So they're really there to help you better run your business. So a lot of software providers. We have a fintech competition going on. So that brings out a lot of the newer software technologies that you probably haven't seen before. So it's just a really exciting time to be able to come and follow the old cliche of get, you know, stop working in the business and start working on the business a little bit and just have some time. So, you know, for anybody that's interested, you know, definitely check out, it's XYPN Live is the name of the conference. You can go to xypnlive.com or xypn18.com, and that'll get you around to the information.
Fantastic. Alan, thank you very much for your thought leadership today.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is wonderful.
If you are not following Alan and really the XY Planning Network, make sure that you go to XYPN and look at the XY Planning Network and get connected to find out all of the great resources. If you do want to go to St. Louis, it's going to be an amazing event. I have heard from many, many advisors, younger advisors who've attended events and been involved with the XY Planning Network, that this is the most valuable resource that they have in creating and running a business. You don't have to do everything. If you can delegate some of those things to other people who have more experience than you do, as much as I know advisors love control, a lot of times giving it to somebody else is such a great feeling. You're not going to feel like you're on that island as much. You're going to have a better network, and you're going to have a better quality product. So for everybody at XY and everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share this with anybody that you know. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.